Hi, this is Linda Rex with Our Life in the Trinity, and I'm bringing the message today for August 4th, Proper 18 in the Christian calendar, and we're going to talk about life in a paper cup. I'll tell you a little bit about more about that in a minute. Our passage today is Luke 14, 25 to 33. Before I read that, I'd like to say a prayer, and then you're welcome to go ahead and get the elements gathered, because we're going to do that later on after we talk about our topic for today. We'll have communion, then we'll close the benediction. So you might want to go ahead and get that ready before we get started. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll begin with our passage for today. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all those that are gathered together on Our Life in the Trinity to hear your word and to join together as we get to know more about what it means to walk and live this life in and with you through Jesus and the Spirit. We pray today that you'll, by your Spirit, open our minds to see and understand more clearly what it means that we are your children, we are your beloved, and what the cost is for following Christ and being his children. And so we thank you for all you've done for us, all you've given us through Jesus our Lord. Amen. So Luke 14, 25 to 33, I'll read it in the New American Standard Bible, says this: Now large crowds were going along with him, and he turned and said to them, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. Now, this really shows my age, but I was thinking the other day about a dream I had. And it was a dream where there were these paper cups, and you know the kind of paper cups where they are just a white paper cone. And we used to have them by the watercolor coolers when I was a kid. And you could get a drink. You could might be able to get two drinks, but about the third one, it'd get a little damp and you couldn't really get as much water without it leaking all over. But it put me, the dream was about each of us being a paper cup. And being great value. I kind of wish I could have known that kept written down the music and the lyrics. It was so profound. But anyway, just thinking about how fragile we are and how weak we are and how easily broken down we are. You know, we as human beings are fragile containers, and yet we're filled with the life-giving presence of God. Even the Apostle Paul talks about this, where only he describes us as clay vessels. And clay vessels are easily broken. They can get cracks in them. And whatever's inside leaks out. And so on. And the thing is, you know, God makes it so that we can offer things to others. We might be like a paper cup, able to offer a drink or two. But none of us really have the capacity to quench the thirst of someone who's been in the desert, you know, and is desperately needing a drink. We may not be able to supply enough fluid to save them. Because we're not, you know, we're not the savior, but we can offer something, right? And we a lot of times can get so focused on the fact that, you know, we're holding something precious, which is God's Spirit, where the life-giving presence of God comes to dwell in human flesh. And we could say, well, it's all about the Holy Spirit, right? But the reality is God does make each of us a precious and wonderful cup, paper cup that he values very much. He values each of us. He counts us each as being very important. He designed every one of us as human beings, as the great potter, to carry his own presence and power. He designed us to be the place where he dwells by his Spirit and draws us into relationship with himself, to be a part of his own circle as Father, Son, and Spirit. You know, in Jeremiah, he was told to go see the potter, right? And so the potter's making this clay pot. We were talking about clay pots, right? He's making this clay pot, and it becomes flawed and just wrong. So he has to push it down and start over again and make a new one. And God said to Jeremiah, his message to Israel was, can I do this with you? You know, but because the people he had created had become malformed, and he's like, I'm going to need to remake you because you're going, you know, you're not how you were designed to be. And so for every one of us as human beings, as paper cups, these fragile receptacles of living water, we get misshaped, misformed. We get turned the wrong direction. As human beings, we have given ourselves over to evil, sin, and death. We just make some really bad choices. But God comes in the person of Jesus Christ, enters our human flesh, becomes a paper cup with us. And he actually, in the process, is not changed into evil, sin, and death, but rather reforges our humanity into the shape God meant us to reflect, the triune shape of Father, Son, and Spirit. Christ becomes our true humanity, all God ever meant for us to be, because in Christ, our humanity lives in right relationship with God now and forever. So our life then is hidden with Christ in God. Our life is in the Trinity. We participate through Christ by the Spirit in everything God's doing in this world. Now, we as human beings can get focused on the fact that we're this paper cup, we're fragile, we're flawed, we're a mess. And we got to argue with God about his design. What were you thinking, God? Why did you make me like this? Why was I born? You know, how many people in your life have told you that you're worthless or useless or that you'd be better off dead? Who said that to you? Well, they didn't know what they were talking about, because God said from the beginning, you are very good. I mean, he was talking about you and me and everyone else that he had made and everything else he made, right? So in Romans 9:20, though, you know, Paul talks about how sometimes we get into this mode, why did you make me, you know, can the vessel tell the potter, why'd you make me like this? Well, no. I mean, I guess we could, but it's kind of a pointless statement because, you know, why would we tell God, why'd you make me like this, when God not only designed us to live in loving relationship with him and one another, to love God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and being, love your neighbor as yourself, we have this way of being that's so beautiful, amazing, and we get to be a part of what God's doing in this world. And not only that, when we mess up and we just get bent by sin and evil and caught in death, God comes himself in Christ to live our life, to die our death and rise again. And he reforges into us a capacity to love God and love each other, gives us the Holy Spirit so we can actually begin to do that, to participate in a relationship with God and with one another in union, communion, oneness. Now, we don't always see it in this life, but we will see it in the world to come. You know, in this gospel passage for today, Jesus is walking along. He's being followed by all these people. Lots of people were following him. And I think it's interesting that Luke kind of uses that to get our minds, because Jesus turns around and looks at them and says, "Have you considered the cost of following me?" I mean, they all wanted to be his followers, his disciples. And he's saying, "Have you considered the cost?" I mean, what was their expectations? They were expecting the Messiah to give them freedom from Roman oppression and bondage, to give them blessings and prosperity because they're God's chosen people. I mean, they had some expectations of the Messiah. But he knew the cost. What was going to be his cost? His cost for what he was trying to do was crucifixion. And their cost for following him would be persecution, maybe even death. That seems extreme. To follow Christ, you have to go through all that. What was Jesus' aim, though? What was his purpose? Why did he come? Why did God enter human flesh and let us crucify him? Well, his purpose was to take these paper cups and do something amazing, freeing us from evil, sin, and death, that oppression. He was more concerned about the oppression of evil, sin, and death than he was about the Roman oppression. He knew eventually that would go away and something new would come up. We were always oppressing each other, right? So, you know, he wanted us to be freed from the bondage of our flesh and be free to love God and love our neighbor. That's what we were designed to do, and he wanted us to be free to do it. That was his aim, was to free us to love God, love each other, to be our true selves as he designed us to be those paper cups, fragile vessels, holding life-giving water, the presence of God himself by the Spirit, being God's adopted children, so precious, so wonderful. And he was wanting to bring us into what we were created to be. So Jesus turns around and says, you know, consider the cost of following me. And then he makes some really radical statements that we have a hard time accepting. I mean, Jesus was willing to go all the way for us. What are we willing to do in return? Nothing. But see, he says no one in our life, not ourselves, not anybody, not even our loved ones, should be more important to us than Jesus Christ. Why is that? Well, what did he do? I mean, he was willing to leave all the privileges of divinity, to join us in our humanity, to suffer at our hands, so that we could be with God in right relationship now and forever. And think about this. Jesus says we each have our own cross to bear. He doesn't ask us to bear his cross. His cross was unique. He, as God, had to allow us to crucify him because he had something in mind to redeem us, to restore us, to reforge within us this new life. But he says each of us will have our own cross to bear. What He says, if you want to follow me, you lay down your life, pick up your cross, that thing that is uniquely yours that God asks you to do, and follow Christ. Go where he wants to go, not where you may want to go. I mean, these are tough things. Is there something maybe God is asking you to give up in order to follow him? It may be that there's a habit he wants you to, oh, well, can you give this up to follow me? Maybe there's something he wants you to lay down, an unhealthy relationship he wants you to cease and desist in. There are sometimes God says to follow me, follow Christ. Maybe there is something he's going to ask of us. And now we don't like that. But see, Jesus has already paid the ultimate price. Whatever we offer is simply a participation in that. It's not the ultimate price, right? You know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in The Cost of Discipleship, talks about the difference between simply professing our faith in Jesus and actually following Jesus. He says there's a difference between the two. Because one, you're simply saying, okay, I trust in Jesus. And you go on living your life as you always have. The other is saying, I'm going to follow Christ. That means in his death, I die. In his life, I live. That means there may be some things that aren't a part of that life that need to go away. Maybe there are some things in that life in Christ that I need to embrace that maybe I've scoffed or ridiculed up to now. And see, we don't like that. We don't like anyone telling us how we should live, do we? Believe me. I mean, that's one of my wrestlings is I get on here and I talk to you about our new life in Christ, our life in the Trinity, and how we need to love one another and so on. And then I get done and I'm thinking, oh dear, I need to go do that. And I'm thinking, wow, how far I am from being who God created me to be. And see, that's the thing. It's not up to us. It's Christ's life in us, working through us as we participate in what he's doing in this world. It's not all up to us. It is up to him. But we realize it's a journey. It's a process. It's a relationship. And we're all somewhere on that place of growing up in Christ, becoming who God created us to be, right? It's going to take eternity, I'm thinking, for us. Well, anyway. But Jesus says, you know, and he begins to talk about, you know, when you plan to build a building, you know, or go to war, that you have to make these plans. You know, I look at these big buildings, you know, you go down here, down almost anywhere here in Nashville now, you're going to see someone building a building. And you see these buildings that are like 20, 30, 40, 50, I forget, stories tall, huge buildings. Can you imagine how many decisions and choices have to be made and planned for in order for one of those buildings to be made? I mean, think about it, just all the different decisions that go into building a 50-story skyscraper. How much more when we choose to follow Christ do we need to realize our life from then on is going to involve a commitment to finishing what God started in us. And it's going to involve following the plan. What's the plan? Jesus Christ is our life. Our life is in him. And so that means there may be some things that we need to consider ahead of time, that it's going to involve a cost. And then, you know, they're thinking about this, the war in Ukraine and Russia. And that is heartrending for me. Every time people go to war, that is not God's will for us. To kill one another is not God's will for us. To harm, to destroy one another is not God, or this earth is not God's will for us. So there's going to be all kinds of suffering and grief and loss. Now, do the leaders, have they sat down and considered? Do our leaders in our country sit down and consider the cost? I'm sure they must, to some extent. I hope they do. In the same way, this whole situation of following Christ, we're looking at a battle we're going into against evil, sin, and death that Jesus fought for us, but we're still working it out right now in our flesh. We're still kind of in that already not yet place where we still have some decisions and difficult battles to fight. And thank goodness that Jesus is the one who does the fighting. We do it in him. But there's some we need to take into consideration. Following Christ has a cost. And not be afraid. I mean, the thing is, he paid the price, the ultimate price. Whatever we do in him. And he does in and through us by the Spirit. So it's not like we're going off into this on our own. But we do want to take seriously our commitment to follow Christ and understand that, you know what, this is a relationship. This is saying, God, I want to be a part of your life. You are a part of my life now and forever. And so that means there might be some things that need to change. There might be some things that happen in my life that I don't want to have happen, that may be difficulties, that, but you're going to be there with me and hold me through. And Jesus, the one, the thing is to remember, Jesus is the one who did it first, who is willing to commit everything to us, to leave the benefits and wonder of this eternal relationship of Father, Son, and Spirit to join us in our humanity, to live in this human flesh for a while, to undergo all the things we undergo, to experience even death at our hands, and to do so with forgiveness on his lips as he died, to lay in the tomb and go all the way down into death, to go up underneath us and lift us up into life with the Father, so that now our life is hidden with Christ in God. We're a part of his intimate relationship with the Father now by the Spirit. He is our past, our present, our future. How can we not follow him? And as little paper cups, our life is so much more than just getting a drink of water. But, you know, we do want to always think, consider the cost, but do so with joy, because Jesus went first and he paid the price. He's offering it all to us freely, generously, calling us to share in his own relationship with the Father in the Spirit. And that is why we come weekly to communion and we consider the essentials of our faith, which we like to affirm. We died with Christ. We rose with Christ. We share in his glory both now and forever. Those are beautiful words. Our life has meaning and value because of what Christ did. And we don't go through life aimlessly or without worth or value because Jesus gave us value. He gave our little paper cup life value. And he fills us with the Spirit so that we can share life with him now and forever. So let me have a word of prayer, and then we'll take the elements together. Thank you for what you've done for us, Jesus. And thank you, Father, for offering your Son to us and calling us your very own, even though we're just these fragile little vessels. You have made us your very own and made us your adopted children. We thank you for that. And thank you for your precious Spirit. And we want to always be open to your Spirit, to not quench your Spirit or insult your Spirit or grieve your Spirit, but to always be open and welcoming to your presence in and with us. We give you thanks and praise and receive all that Christ has done for us with gratitude and thanksgiving. In his name, amen. So we remember on the night Jesus was betrayed, he offered bread and broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you." So we receive, Jesus, all you've done for us and offering your body for us. And we receive also, Jesus, your poured out blood, your life poured out for us, and all you've done to include us in your relationship with the Father and the Spirit. Thank you. Now may God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. May you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ, putting into action the generosity that comes from your faith through Jesus our Lord and by his Spirit. Amen. And may God bless you this week. Do come and see us again at Our Life in the Trinity, and be sure to visit our website, lifeinthetrinity.blog. We'd love to hear from you. God bless.